a bat and a
There you go. That's our
You caught it?
I woke up this morning and I forgot whether I was an atheist.
Oh, that's a problem.
You know, I didn't remember, and luckily, like, thank God, there was this online test that I took. It had three questions, and it reminded me that I was indeed an atheist.
Oh.
So the test is simple, and anyone can take it. It's quick, three questions only. You don't really need to bring out a notebook or a calculator for it. So anyway, here are the questions.
Wait, you can find the questions here after the show, but here they are anyway.
Yeah, okay. A bat and a ball cost $1.10 in total. So let's contextualize. 1 peso and 10 centavos. That's
what
a cheap
no, you
bat
use
and
the actual
okay.
One.
It's still a cheap. I mean, even for the dollar price, that's
yes.
still cheap. So you might as well use the peso
yeah.
price, right?
Yeah.
It's one peso. One peso, 10 centavos, bat and ball combo at SM Mega Mall. Okay, the bat costs 1 peso more than the ball does. How much does the ball cost? Okay, that's the first question. And you can pause it anytime, work on the problems, you know, go at your own pace, really simple. Second question, if it takes 5 minutes to make 5 widgets, how long would it take 100 machines to make 100 widgets? So, again, anyway, the questions on the screen, you can pause it if you want to read, and then again, you can solve it at your leisure. Third question. In a lake, there is a patch of lily pads. Every day, the patch doubles in size. If it takes 48 days for the patch to cover the entire lake, how long would it take for the patch to cover half of the lake? Okay, those are the three questions. You can work on them, pause, and then return to us because we will reveal the answers right now. Is it right to reveal the answers right now?
Yeah,
just
yeah,
put
imagine.
It in the description. You know, it would be...
Oh, yeah. It'll be upside down at the bottom of the description.
Okay, it will. The answers
yes.
will be on the...
Description.
Description section. So you can pause, check your answers, or just, you know, not. This is valuable stuff. If you want to know whether you're an atheist or a theist.
If you happen to forget.
Yeah.
The research.
Take the test.
Yeah.
Okay. Welcome back. So, do you believe in God or not? I mean, it's not a simple yes or no. You have to take the three question
test.
But anyway,
it's a percentage answer.
Okay, so the test, what was it about? What was the test about?
It was from a study, if I'm not mistaken.
Of Ricky Gervais? No, some other Gervais.
Yeah, of a few authors and they basically found that something they found in common between, I mean, the big difference between atheists and believers are the how they answer these three questions and whether or not a person's being intuitive versus analytical. And they found that the intuitive answers to these questions, like off the top of your head, for example, are less likely to be right.
To these particular questions. Okay.
Because they're kind of tricky. And the people who get it right are more likely those who have thought about it more and analyzed the question. And they found that atheists are more likely to think analytically than intuitively.
And get the answers right. So does this mean then that atheists are smarter? That's what everyone's thinking
by now.
The
researchers have made a disclaimer that they do not favor any particular way of thinking, specifically analytical over intuitive. They're just saying that regarding these two types of thinking, atheists are more commonly analytical than believers are.
Okay, yeah, they were very careful on the article that we've linked to already several times to clarify that they weren't claiming in any way or form that non-believers were
wrong, whether or not non-believers are smarter.
Yeah, were less smart or... They used some really insulting words, you know, that like dumb, like utterly stupid. They actually did. Open up your MacBook Retina. There, look. There are many other reasons people might decide not to believe in God, of course, and it would be a mistake to construe religious believers as unreflective, shallow-thinking fools, right?
Yeah, don't do that, guys.
But
they're using unnecessarily strong language.
And there's no section saying that it would be wrong to think that atheists are like geniuses, like of the...
This Gervais guy must be related to Ricky Gervais.
So it's kind of unfair in that sense, you know, like... Of course, we will make the point that this particular article did not make, that atheists, non-believers, agnostics, or, you know, they don't necessarily outsmart believers.
Yeah.
I mean, we know a lot of atheists, and a lot of them are pretty shallow,
unreflective, shallow-thinking fools.
Fools.
There are a lot of, so no matter what denomination you belong to, there will be a spectrum of different kinds of people in that denomination, and there are bound to be intelligent ones and pretty stupid ones.
Okay, so what can we gather? What can we understand from this article? Okay, we learn that there are two ways that people usually think. The article mentions a book that I've read. I recommend it. It's very good. The Thinking Fast and Slow by Daniel Kahneman.
I don't know.
Yeah, Kahneman. I think it's Daniel Kahneman. Here's a link, Amazon. Do we have an affiliate link already? We should do that, right? Buy the book and just donate what we would have gotten affiliately. Anyway, it's a good book, and it talks about two ways of thinking. System one and system two thinking, and it's the intuitive versus the more analytical kind of thinking. So the first kind of thinking is fast and intuitive, and it usually works, and it's why we use it most of the time.
Yeah.
I mean, it's just not practical to have to bring out notebooks to solve every single problem. Yeah. Sometimes, I mean, most of the time, the intuitive way of solving stuff already works. But humans are actually equipped with a higher form of thinking, the system two thinking, which is more critical, more slow. This is the slow in the title of the book. And it kind of overrides the intuitive way of thinking. And for a few of the problems that we encounter, it's necessary to use the slower, more analytical method of thinking, because otherwise you'd just be wrong.
Yeah. So while the author does not choose between intuitive and analytical, which is better, I think, you mentioned, I'm not sure if you did, analytical is a higher form of thinking. Intuitive thinking is not going to land you on a comet. There are a lot of analytical computations you're going to have to make, right? And the author suggests that the reason religious people are more likely to be intuitive thinkers is because applying analytical thinking to more things will more likely wean you off of religion. You're not gonna, if you apply analytical thinking to your beliefs, for example, which is what a lot of people who've become atheists have done, then it's not gonna hold up.
I think analytical thinking, there's a way of getting it into the realm of intuitive thinking, meaning with enough practice, you can be intuitively analytical, so to speak. Now, your automatic mode of thinking is analytical, and you get faster and faster with the analytical method of solving problems because you use it often.
But can you still call it analytical and not intuitive if you've already gotten used to it?
I think so. I think a very shallow form of analytical thinking is a very instinctive form of analytical thinking is skepticism. Like just asking yourself, wait, is this even true? And that's a very basic form of analysis to something, and it's still instinctive, it's still intuitive, that when you see something, you just doubt it. And that's already a very, very basic and important form of analytical thinking.
Okay, before I forget, if you like the problems that you just solved, you know, those are counterintuitive problems. And that's already a clue, actually. You know, if it seems so easy, it must be counterintuitive in a way, and therefore there must be something else to it. There must be a catch. But anyway, if you like problems like that, there's a Wikipedia page for counterintuitive.
Oh, interesting.
Knowledge.
Then you can be more sure that you're an atheist.
I mean, I remember stuff there like why is like 0.99999
equal to one?
Some stuff like that. But my favorite by far is the Monty Hall problem. You know, it's a challenge trying to explain that to people. Anyway, I want to go back to what you said. The difference between a believer and a non-believer is oftentimes not really whether one is smarter or not. It's whether one applies analytic critical thinking to more domains than the other, right? Because like an atheist or a non-believer could have applied just the analytical way of thinking just to the atheism.
Yes,
and then do
yes.
everything else.
Yeah. Right. It could be like Raelians.
Oh,
they don't believe in a god, but they believe in
like
other things that have no evidence, like
yeah.
alien.
Yeah.
Okay,
yeah.
Let's might as well dispel that misconception that atheists are all naturalists
yeah, right.
or rationalists.
And I'm sure like there are a lot of very good scientists out there who practice analytical thinking very thoroughly in their work,
yes.
in their professional work. But with regards to, for example, personal philosophy, they don't apply it that much.
Yeah, like people like Collins, was it Francis Collins? Yeah, he still believes in a creator.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, you hear about all of these creationist scientists,
mm-hmm.
Like a huge percentage of scientists in the U.S. are actually believers in God.
Mm-hmm.
Like it's I mean, there are still more non-believers, but it's, you know, more
yeah.
or less
yeah.
near.
Mm-hmm.
It's only when you go to the most elite
yeah.
scientists, you know, the
that
National
you see
Academy.
The difference, yeah.
Yeah, where it's significant, like 97%
yeah.
to 3%, you know. But still, it does not mean that all atheists are necessarily smarter or that believers are often unthinking fools. It just means that it's very difficult to it's unintuitive
yeah.
to not be intuitive.
Exactly.
I mean our default mode of handling things is just the intuitive way.
Yeah.
And you know where
it takes
I
take some effort.
Yeah, yeah. And I wonder if this also perpetuates or if this also means there would be more prejudices when you're a believer. But only in the sense that when you're a believer, you tend to be more intuitive in how you think about things
huh.
and not more analytical. So prejudice, you know, is often intuitive.
Right.
Yeah. Yes.
You know, like a man should only be with a woman because
the parts
the
fit.
Parts,
yeah, it,
yeah. Yeah. I mean, the parts fit better.
Yeah.
And that's just intuition. And there are arguments for this, you know, natural law arguments. Uh-huh. Tend to rely on the intuitive nature
yeah.
of people, you know, like when you argue that a man should only have sex with a woman or should only marry a woman, you're appealing to the default intuitive reasoning of people.
Yeah. Yeah, and I think a lot of emotions, especially those that get people riled up, like disgust or anger, those are based on intuitive reactions to things. And you don't often ask yourself, like, wait, why am I feeling this way? Why am I against equal marriage equality? Like, and you have to, and your reasoning will always stop at a certain point, like someone told you or it's written in the book, when, and then you don't ask yourself any further. So analytical thinking will help you
override,
figure out what exactly your beliefs
yeah.
are. And where they might actually conflict
yeah.
with other beliefs you have.
Yeah, that's related to something I learned recently from the
Paul Bloom.
Yeah, from Paul
Bloom. Yeah, we did talk about that, and look forward to the interview.
Plug
the Coursera as well.
Yeah, it is the course that I took on Coursera, Moralities in Everyday Life. It related to that was how it was disgust.
Yeah,
disgust was discussed
as one of the
main sources of morality. Like there's reason, there's other stuff, and one of them is disgust. Like people make moralistic pronouncements through feelings of disgust sometimes. And it's often that when you try to ask them why they find something immoral, they just after the fact make up reasons that are not disgust. And I think it's important that we learn to overcome this, because disgust is like it's a very biological response.
Basic
right? Yeah, yeah. And like we should be willing to put that disgust in question. Like, why am I disgusted? Is it reasonable? It's, I mean, it's not saying, we're not saying it's wrong to be disgusted, because it's a feeling that you can't control.
Right.
But to say that it should drive something like morality, or a sense of wrongness.
Or laws.
Or laws, yeah, exactly. We should be rethinking those, yeah, and overriding them with more analytical.
Yeah, and
processes.
You know, I did some mental intuitive, so it might be wrong, reasoning or putting stuff together in my head. And I think, you know, you could do experiments that would show that intuitive people tend to be more disgusted easily. Like, did you come across that that study on disgust?
There was a study, yeah, but it's not linked to intuition.
It's not. I'm just hypothesizing here.
We could, maybe.
Yeah.
It was linked to conservatism, I think.
Yeah, conservative people tend to be more easily disgusted. And, you know, they take that feeling and reason, like, yeah, after the fact, yeah, as you have said.
I want to add, though, that a lot of this focus was about like who gets the answers right, and a lot of people will connect that to who's smarter, and like, we have the right answers and you have the wrong answers,
yeah,
and the wrong religion. But I think the important part here is that we've already established that a lot of religious people are smart, a lot of non-religious people are stupid, and that, like, none of that might matter as long as, like, we just be good people. And as long as you're not driving your policies based on your intuitive thoughts, right, or this feelings of disgust, as long as whether or not you get the answers right, if you're being good people, that's totally fine.
Although, you know, I think getting the answers right
will make you good, better people.
Is valuable, because the definition of good is not as objective,
right,
as getting the answers right.
Yeah,
right.
Like, a lot of the times, like, we would have to resort to science. Because if otherwise, what do we have? It's just philosophical arguments that could, you know, you could argue both sides. So, you know, getting the answers right is also important. Like, I saw just a while ago a post on the updates and announcements group. I'm not sure if it was actually posted there, but I saw a poster that argued different dogs.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, and it says, evolution happens, right? Because there are different dogs, and that's artificial selection.
I mean,
the breeding, right? And then it's different from sludge turning into a human being, right? Like, it says, that's equivocation.
Mm-hmm.
When you use a word in one sense to mean the same thing in another sense.
Mm-hmm.
So they're trying, creationists are trying to falsify evolution using logical fallacy. Critical thinking. Like, they're calling that
saying evolution implies a biogenesis.
Yeah. So more and more, even creationists are recognizing the value of using logic, reason, and science to argue their point. But if you don't do it right, and that brings us to the test. Like, I believe that creationists, you know, I mean, not creationists, but people who have strong feelings about certain of these problems,
mm-hmm,
you know, they would argue it even if they're wrong, even if they're demonstrably wrong. And I've seen this most clearly in, again, the Monty Hall problem. Just seriously, take the Monty Hall, try to solve the Monty Hall problem, try to get someone else to understand it, and it's really interesting. Like, you'll see the smartest people, I mean, I argued for the wrong answers for a very long time before I got it.
And you're using yourself as an example for the smartest people.
No.
For a stupid atheist.
I was very stupid. I didn't get it at once. And now it's kind of my pastime to try to explain it as fast as I can. But anyway, again, facts will be important, because the definition of good changes and can't be proven. So stuff like this, or, you know, system one, system two thinking will be very important. And if you, and let us know, like, we know someone, like, who thought he was an atheist, and then he took the test and he wasn't an atheist. He didn't get the answers right. So, you know, or you may be
you may
believe in God, and then you get all of the answers right, and then
congratulations, you know, welcome to the club.
No. But anyway, we will discuss this and other stuff at the meetup that's happening this weekend, Saturday, 2:30 to 5:30. We're having it.
UP Diliman.
In not really. We're not sure yet, but it will coincide with this event. It's a family day for LGBT allies. So we will discuss some stuff, but mostly we will be participating in the event. So it's kind of a field trip. It will be fun, and we can compare notes and maybe talk about the Montreal problem and other stuff. So until next time, bye.